1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 3, 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Good morning. I'm Pastor Alan Blackwood. Glad to have you with us this morning. We are working our way through 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 3, and we've come through a section in the first part of chapter 3 that's been zeroing in on the problem, the first of the problems that Paul deals with in 1 Corinthians. The root of the problem of division is carnality. That is the tendency for people who profess to be Christians to not be governed by the Holy Spirit, but rather are governed by appetite, by their own desires, by human nature. This carnality then gives rise to, or is indicated by, the presence of envying, strife, division, the idea of Christians walking as unconverted people walk. That is, they're, keep in mind the word walk in Scripture, the manner of living. The manner of living regulated by a particular principle or value system of morality or philosophy. The walk, then, of this church in Corinth has been primarily one of carnality, one not dominated by the Spirit of God. Now, as he has moved his discussion down through chapter 3, you'll find that he brings up this matter of Apollos and himself and their differing works, how that they're motivated for the same reason. Paul is sowing the seed, he's planting, Apollos is watering, he's coming along and encouraging the growth of the seed that's been planted. But as Paul points out, neither he that plants or he that waters amounts to anything, it's God that gives the increase. And then he says in verse 9, we are laborers together with God, both he and Apollos and Cephas and anybody else that was coming into the running there as far as who was supposed to be the number one preacher. All of these, he says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Now notice by his saying it this way, he's made a distinction between himself and these who are ministering with him to the Corinthians and the Corinthians themselves. These preachers have been, as it were, tradesmen or farmers, or you can look at it a number of ways, but you'll notice in verse 9, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And we looked at the word husbandry. It comes from a Greek root that means land under cultivation. The Corinthians were being cultivated by God. Now, when you talk about land under cultivation, you are looking toward a harvest, toward a crop bearing fruit, reaching maturity. And this is the, you know, the thrust of what Paul and these other preachers have been aiming for, this idea of bringing forth fruit, suitable meat for the master's use, as it were. Now, as he goes on, this time not so much in the vein of husbandry, but rather the idea of the building, he talks about the grace of God given unto him as a wise master builder, as an architecton, I have laid the foundation. Now, as such, think about this for a minute, the foundation. You need a site. You need to clear that site. You need to prepare it. You need to position the foundation on that site. How deep is the foundation going to run? What's the strength of that foundation? All of these things an architect has to take into consideration, and a contractor takes into consideration as they're getting ready to lay the foundation. Now, the site would be naturally in the heart, I suppose, of the believer. Need to clear the site, get rid of everything else. Jesus Christ has to be the preeminent site. That's not the right word. He is the preeminent focus on this site, in this believer. Now, he says, another builder can build on that foundation. The foundation, the only foundation worth having, he says in verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then as you move down through here, we move toward the area that would normally be referred to in connection with the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema, B-E-M-A, the Bema seat judgment. This judgment is different from the Great White Throne judgment. The Great White Throne judgment are for those who do not know Christ. It is the final judgment. The Bema Seat judgment, though, the judgment seat of Christ, is for Christians. Every Christian will stand there, not to see whether or not they've been good enough to get into heaven. That's taken care of by the blood of Christ. What we give an account for here at the judgment seat of Christ is for the works that we have done, what we have done ostensibly for the Lord. And you will notice that the emphasis on this judgment is to try every man's work of what sort it is. In verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned. Now this word burned, we're not talking about something being singed. We're talking about something being totally consumed. If you've ever been by a place where a building has burned, and they say, oh, it's a total loss, the building was burned completely up. If you walk across that site, you will notice there are some things that did not burn up. The wood is gone, anything combustible is gone, but usually most of the things that were metallic are still there. Hinges, nails, screws, perhaps the roofing, if it was, like a galvanized or steel roofing material, sometimes metallic siding. Aluminum usually melts down pretty bad, and plastic or the vinyl siding burns up, is gone. But there are some things that remain. I know I was going through a place, just kind of sifting through what was left after we had burned an old house. And in the structure, in the building, there were a lot of bolts, probably 3/4-inch bolts that had been used to fix timbers together in floor joists, and they were there. Some of them were fused, they were unusable, but some of them you could still take, you take some oil and let it soak, and after 3 or 4 days, the nut would, begin to turn, and you could conceivably use those things again. But here we're talking about something in verse 15 where everything is totally consumed. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, what do you mean we're going to be in the fire? Now look, the essence of the judgment is to reveal the content, what sort of thing a man has built. The man himself, let's face it, as a born-again believer, he's impervious to the flame of this judgment. He, by virtue of the fact that we stand there, as opposed to the Great White Throne, by virtue of the fact that we are at the Bema Seat judgment, we are saved. Not because we survived some test, but because we have been born again, we appear there. All right. It is our works, those things that we have done, supposedly, for the cause of Christ. Now, you'll notice its result is reward or loss of reward. Now, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, at first glance, verses 14 and 15 taken together don't seem to connect with verse 6 at all. And yet, if you take it in the broader context, going back here to the foundation and something being built upon it, you keep in mind that there's two different things going on here, two different aspects, and you'll tend to fixate on one or the other without seeing. If you're focused on one, you probably don't pay attention to the other aspect of it. But if we go back to verse 9, ye are God's building. Verse 10, he talks about being as an architect, a wise master builder, laying the foundation. Somebody else comes along. Now, wait a minute. This foundation and what's being built on it are the individuals, okay? Individual believers. Now, as you move down through here, it's easy enough to see how it shifts from the individual to the man's work. Okay? It's the man's work that's being tried and being tested, analyzed, evaluated in the fire, not the man himself. And yet, we are the Lord's husbandry. We are the building of God. When you take that in consideration then, and you get to verse 16, you see here this matter of the temple of God. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? It was being built on the foundation of Christ Jesus, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Because as that building erected on that foundation, and the Holy Spirit indwelling you, his presence makes you then the temple of God. If any man defile or destroy, corrupt, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Here is a thing, my friend, that is beyond the milk with which he had been feeding them back in verse 1, verse 2, because they were carnal. He moves them, almost force feeds them to a point now where he talks about this matter of their holiness. Notice, please, that which makes the Christian holy is not his works, not the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Isaiah talks about our works in the Old Testament. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. What then makes us holy? It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. There are those who wear a badge of holiness, whether it's in the way they dress or the way they comb their hair or whether they use makeup or wear jewelry or whatever. In their mind, this sets them apart as being holy. But my friend, all you're doing is dressing or down-dressing the exterior. That's purely cosmetic. The thing that makes you holy or not is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you are not built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, if you've not been born again, then, my friend, there is no point in talking of holiness, except in a very vague and general way. Without holiness shall no man see God, but that holiness is not your holiness. It's the holiness that comes from him. Now, I'm not finished with this by a long shot, but we're out of time for today. I hope you'll join me as we continue our study here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tomorrow. Join me then.